Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, and I am calling to you live this week from wonderful cold and snowy Mishawaka, Indiana, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern time. And I have with me today my friend and co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself from ProfitableStorytelling.com. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Hey there. How are you? I'm so excited to be here, and I'm sorry you're so cold up there. We lost all of our snow, so I'm very excited. My dog isn't there.
Oh, that's no fair. I guess that means
yeah,
I should be coming to visit you pretty soon, huh?
Oh, that would be great because it is warmer down here. I mean, yes, we do occasionally get some snow. We had 5 inches last week, but yesterday it was around 40, and I don't know, it should be kind of close to. So it's really not too bad. It is winter. We do have four seasons here, but it's not as brutal as it can be up there in Indiana and by the lake and everything.
We had my father-in-law's funeral yesterday, and we started the day at about 8 degrees, 5 degree below zero wind chill, with snow and ice like you wouldn't believe. And the weather was so bad that most of the people who had planned on being at the funeral just couldn't get there. And even those that did get there, most were over an hour late, so we had to start the funeral late because of it. We had expected 200 to 300 people, and I think we had about 40.
Yeah, well, it's not surprising given those conditions. I'm certainly sorry that happened to, for the sake of the family and everything, but that's definitely cold. It makes me cold just thinking about it being that cold. Oh, brr.
I know, and the night before at the viewing and the wake, it was so cold. It was almost 15 below zero that night. And
really?
I don't care what you do, you're just not warm even inside when it's that cold. It's just cold.
That is absolutely right. It's absolutely right. I am standing here in my beautiful home in the much warmer than there Ozarks, and Molly has her head on my foot, and I'm rubbing her belly with my foot, and she has her leg up in the air doing what I call hussy leg, with her back leg splayed open, and this beautiful blissed out expression, and she's looking up and going, she's very cute. She's a happy dog. That's my guide dog, Molly Flagtail.
Too funny. Yeah. Little Fritzer is here in my hotel room with me, sitting on what I call a pile of tuffets, meaning that he has dragged every pillow from the king-size bed into the center, stacked them all up on top of one another, climbed up on top, and is laying on his back with all 4 feet straight up in the air, sound asleep and snoring.
That is hilarious. Oh, grab a picture of that. That is just way too cute.
He just loves his tuffets, I'm telling you.
Isn't that funny? That is,
I've never seen a dog do that. I know cats do it all the time, but he's the first dog I've ever seen. He will not lay down unless he's on a stack of pillows.
That is too funny. That is just hysterical. I love how animals have personality. And just like people, when you allow them to have a personality, then they have the opportunity to flourish.
Really true. Really true. And, you know, with both Molly and Fritzer, I wouldn't doubt in the least if the two of them don't have a conception of what their dream life should be like, and that both of them very much live that dream life every single day. And it's too bad that not all people really think about doing that themselves.
Well, here's something that's really funny with Molly. Now, and I'll share this, and it does actually relate to the topic for today. Hello, Trippy Cat. Yes, I know. It does relate to dreams. So Molly has this tendency to poke things when she wants them. When she wants them, she goes and pokes it with her nose. And, wow, it's loud over there.
Sorry, I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting in my chair. I think it's just the pipes in this radiator, the heater system here. I'll try and move my mic to my other ear and see if it changes anything.
Well, it's okay. It does happen sometimes. It's just funny. Well, so Molly will poke things with her nose, and she just jabs it in. Sometimes she pokes really hard. And the funniest thing is that my mom is her Grammy. My dog's Grammy is my mom. And we'll go over to my mom's place, and my mom has two or three different types of treats. Well, Molly has started to poke the specific treat that she wants. She'll poke the bag of pepperonis, or she'll poke the popcorn, or she'll poke the little crunchy treats and indicate exactly what she wants. And if you try to hand her something else, she looks at you like, hey, dummy, I just poked the pepperoni. What are you giving me crunchy treats for?
That sounds like Little Fritz. Little Fritz has different barks for different treats. One bark means, Mommy, I want my dingo bone. One bark means, Mommy, I want my milk bone. And yet another means, Mommy, could I have one of those? And this last one isn't really a bark. It's more of a growl. And he wants his little rawhide ball, not the bone. And you can literally sit there and listen to what he says out loud and know exactly what it is that he wants.
And if you give him the wrong thing, doesn't he look at you like you're a lunkhead?
He does. And he will get so frustrated because Bill doesn't understand that these different noises mean he wants something different. And so he just, you know, hands him whatever he feels like handing him. Not what Fritzer really asked for. And Fritzer looks at him like, Dad, aren't you ever going to figure out what I'm saying? Come on, get with the program.
He's like, don't you speak fluent Fritz yet? Goodness sake, you've had me for 2 years, you know.
It is so funny. And, I mean, he will sit there and just growl at Bill until he gets it right. It is so funny to sit there watching him do that.
So Bill has to have an interpreter to be taught, okay, Bill, now he said that bark means he wanted this.
And that's exactly what happens. The minute Fritzer does one of his noises, meaning he wants something, Bill looks at me and says, what did he say?
Right.
And Mommy really always funny. Knows. It's just a matter of paying attention. He tells you clearly what he wants. He even does one thing to go potty to go number one and a totally different something to tell us he wants to go number two.
Yep. Well, and the funny thing is you get used to knowing the signals. Now, Molly can come up to me and just stand there and look at me, and I'll say, okay, and I'll go and do whatever she wanted, and someone will go, well, how did you know she wanted that? I'm like, well, she communicated it to me very clearly. So,
right. I mean, it is like clear as a bell, just like me saying, Rhonda, would you send me an email with that file attached versus me saying, Rhonda, would you send me an instant message with that file attached? It might be similar. They both get me the file. But you hear them differently, and therefore you do what I've asked. They do the exact same thing if you listen.
They really do. And the funny thing about that is what I often say is, well, the dogs certainly have the training of the humans well underway, and they have
absolutely
mastered training of the humans. So what does all this have to do with going for your dreams? I know that you can guess, Gina, so why don't you enlighten our listeners?
Well, it really is all about living your dream life, right? And they know so clearly what they want. It's not even funny. And they communicate it to us exactly the way we need to hear it to know what it is that they want. So one of the things that we as humans fail to do is to communicate clearly to ourselves, especially to our subconscious, what it is that we really want in our dream life. And therefore, without our subconscious hearing specifically, this is the dream life that we want, it doesn't know how to respond. It doesn't know what to give you, and you get what shows up, not what you really want. If you If you can train yourself to communicate clearly to your subconscious with what your dream life looks like, you get it every time.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I actually did this to somebody. I've used this example on our show, but I was talking with somebody and we were in a coffee shop, and he was saying, I really need more money this year. And so I handed him a dime and he looked at me funny and I said, congratulations, you have more money.
That's exactly what 99.9% of the people do, Rhonda.
Yes, it is, and that's why I've used that as an example. I literally did that, and I got the strangest look from you. He's like, what am I supposed to do with this? It's just a dime. I'm like, what did you expect me to do, just hand you $1 million? He's like, well, that would have been nice.
Oh, that's too funny.
The thing is, people do tend to want their dreams delivered. It's the same, Cinderella's prince will rescue her from her horrible life and deliver her into a brand new life suddenly, or someone will win the lottery and then all of a sudden they think all their problems will be solved if they can just have that winning ticket. And there's really so much more to having a dream. It's really building it. And you're so right that starting off with being very specific is definitely a key part. I'm really enjoying Keys to Living the Law of Attraction by Jack Canfield.
Oh, I'm so glad you're going through it.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and that really applies to this in a big way, doesn't it?
Yes, it definitely does. In fact, I was trying to add it in. I will try again later, but Blog Talk has been having some really unique issues with the program editor this lately. But so I'll get it in there later. Yes, The Key to Living the Law of Attraction is a terrific book, and it does get you to being very specific. And an interesting thing also is I'm in the coaching program with the Tall Trees that I just love, the year-long self-mastery program. And so much of what we have already done, it's like, oh, well, I already have Melissa this stuff in my journal. So it's lovely how it happens to coincide.
It really is. And what I love about Jack's book, The Key to Living the Law of Attraction, is that it really walks you through the process of defining what your dreams are and then continues down that path to really help you get as much clarity as you can about the dream, then go on to start communicating that to your subconscious as well as to the universe. So that if you follow all of the workbook-type lessons through that book, by the end, you will have created your dream life, and you'll be on the path to really getting that to manifest in your life.
Right, absolutely. So the big thing about dreams, now last week we had a Licensed Dream was our show and the name of a book by three different authors whom we talked to last week. And we all have a license to dream, and then we all have that necessity to do the things that are going to bring it about. And Gina, would you agree with me that there is definitely a price to be paid for your dream, or does it just fall out of the sky?
No, there is definitely a price to be paid for your dream.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we tend to want to think, oh, yeah, things will just happen, as if once you actually state it clearly, that all of a sudden means that it's going to just show up just because you finally stated it clearly. Well, that's not the way it works, is it?
No, not even a little bit.
No. Nope.
So how does it work, Rhonda?
Well, it works by definitely first starting with that very clear vision in specific terms. And it starts also then with emotion. You have to have emotion tied to this dream. It's not just about a dollar amount or a thing that you want or a relationship that you want, but very specific emotional aspects, right? Because that is what is going to help you to bring it about.
Gotcha.
Then there's a wonderful quote from Brian Tracy, and he talks about how to get what you want, you have to be willing to pay the price in advance. To get what you want, you have to be willing to pay the price in advance. I'm paraphrasing that, but that's what his quote says. And I think that's really a significant quote, don't you?
It's very significant. So does that mean it's going
to
cost you seven or eight figures to buy your dream?
Well, it's not a, you don't have to open up your wallet per se, but you do pay for everything with time, energy, money, some combination of those things, right? Things don't just get delivered. Even the things that just seem to get delivered, there was a lot of preparation that went into them. So people that appear to be an overnight success, that's just because you haven't seen the 99.9% of things that were happening below the surface before the little sprout broke through the earth and came up, right?
Correct.
So paying the price in advance doesn't necessarily mean that you're investing money to make something happen, but you're definitely investing mindset, and you're investing time, and you're investing learning, and you're investing opening yourself to a new reality, and you're investing becoming the person who is the type of person who can have those things that you want.
Yeah.
Here's an example, and we're going to have a sound clip later from this person. I know a marathon runner. He used to be a marathon runner, Scott Armstrong. He is the author of Boston Marathon or Bust and the Best Affirmations Handbook. Well, you can't just be a couch potato that weighs 400 pounds and run a marathon. Now, he was never that, certainly, but he had to put the time into training. Not only training his body, that's the obvious. Well, sure, you have to train your body to be a runner. Well, yeah, and that's clear. But beyond that, he had to train his mind, and especially for running a long race. There are points in a very long race where you just feel like you don't have anything left to give out anymore. You're tired. Your mind may start to turn on you and go, what are you thinking trying to do this? And you have to decide if you can find the energy to keep going or not. All of
and
that
that's really, really important to figure out, right? If you're really building your life and your business strategically, you're starting with defining the dream and defining the vision. In other words, figuring out the outcome. And then you're looking at how you go from where you're at right now to that dream. And as you work your way backwards from the outcome to where you are today, it really is creating a path that you simply need to follow one step at a time, and everything falls in place to allow you to create and manifest that dream life. So in many ways, it becomes the actions that you're taking that are the price for achieving your dreams.
Right. The actions that you're taking, not only in terms of what you're doing with your business, if it's about growing a business, but it's all of the other things. For example, let's say that we'll just focus on a dream of building a business, since that's what most people that listen to our show are doing. Well, there's the part of building a business that you really need to have enough physical strength and stamina to be able to put in the hours that it's going to take to make this dream happen. And if you do not take care of yourself, you're not going to have the sufficient energy and physical resources to put in the occasional all-nighter or long-nighter, to put yourself into all the things it's going to take to bring this business about. Likewise, if you have a horrible mindset, as you often say, you can get everything right, but get the mindset wrong, and you'll still fail.
Exactly. And this is why mindset is so crucial, and why it's imperative that you work on the mindset before you work on the business or any other aspect of your life. If you don't get the mindset right, nothing else is actually going to get you the results that you would normally expect. Get the mindset right, mess everything else up, and you still get the results you want because the mindset was there in the first place. So it's really
right.
Why in my programs we start with mindset, and then we move into the things that are really the actions, like building a blog, finding products to sell, and those kinds of things.
Right. Absolutely. And the mindset carries you through a lot because, as I'm sure everybody has noticed, something kind of interesting happens when you do finally say, okay, I have this dream, I've gotten clear on it, now I'm actually going to go about taking the steps to make it happen. Something interesting happens. Our guest Rhonda Court talked about it in December of 2010 when she was our guest in talking about her particular miracle that happened. And when she was faced with a big moment of decision, it seemed like everything was falling apart. She had two family members go into the hospital. All of the outward signs would have seemed to say, no, don't go ahead with what you were planning. Just take care of these things that have come up. Some other opportunity will come up later. But she said
yeah.
No. She went forward with her plans. And when it seemed like she just still wasn't sure how it was all going to work out, things happened that had been set in motion a long time back that finally allowed her to be able to not only take that next step in her dream, but do some other things as well.
Mm-hmm. Perfect example of how the mindset really change the result, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And it's also true that when you step forth, hi, Trippy, step forth into your dream, you are definitely going to be tested as to how serious you are. And that's why the next logical step in this beautiful series that we've had throughout the year is continuing now with your commitment to your dream. Commitment to your dream. Because it doesn't just come handed to you fully formed with everything perfectly in place and you just get to step into that life. It definitely requires a commitment on many levels, starting with your mindset and including many other things that will need to be happening from you in order to make that dream happen.
Mm-hmm. So I know that you've put together some best of clips for us today about this exact topic, right?
Yes, I have, absolutely. So the first clip that I want to play, and then we'll have some conversation afterwards, is about this testing, and it's from Adam Urbanski, who was our guest. I didn't look at the date. It was in 2010. I should have looked at the month. I just didn't think of it. So I'm going to play that clip because he talks about the testing that goes into your life before you can have that dream.
When you want to start, and hopefully we may have a little bit of time to talk about it, but when you start your business, when you have an idea, when you have a goal, an objective, whether it's personal or business, life immediately conspires against you. And I know it sounds kind of foo-foo and weird, but what happens is you will be tested whether or not you really want what you say you want.
Right.
So barriers will you know appear, and it's just when you really think about it in the simplest sense of, hey, I want to get up from here, and I want to go to the kitchen and grab a drink of water. Well, you may not think about it, but there are different barriers. Like I actually have to push the chair physically away from the desk, and I have to get up. I actually have to walk down the stairs, and I have to come up the stairs. I actually have to open a cabinet. I have to reach for the glass. So all those things are barriers of sorts. They require effort, but because they're so simple, they're second nature, we don't think much about them. But now let's say that your objective is to make $1 million. Well, the first thing will be, I've got to come up with ideas, and then what are the objectives? You know, what are the barriers? You immediately start thinking, well, I don't have that good of an idea. Well, I don't have anybody that, I don't have that much money to get started the business. Well, you know, I don't know anybody that could help me build a business. Well, you know, all sorts of things that you don't know. And then let's say you come up with an idea, come up with a business, and you'll say, well, again, there is no money. So how do you get the money? And then you'll say, well, I don't know how to do certain. I need a website that will help me make this $1 million. I don't know how to build websites. So you sort of, all sorts of things will appear to trip you up, so to speak. And you have to enroll other people in your life to help you overcome those problems. If you keep going at it alone, it's a very slow, very long journey. So this whole concept, and what happens is, if you're not staying focused, you will be interrupted, you will be disrupted, and then rarely you will go back to complete the tasks you started doing. So it's so important for entrepreneurs to, number one, surround themselves with other people who will validate your ideas, who will help you spot your dangers, who will help you better recognize and take advantage of opportunities that come your way. But also, those people will cheer you on when you kind of lose enthusiasm, and we all get depressed at times. Things are not going the way we wanted them to go, and we just run out of steam. We need some cheerleaders to come back and say, hey, we believe in you. Go back, pick yourself up. You can do it. Those are people. We need those people to hold us accountable, because the reason people are failing often in their businesses is because when they had a job, the job would show up over the desk, watch over the shoulders, crack the whip. If what your job was, what you were supposed to do at your job, if it wasn't done, you know, you were risking being fired. So you there was a lot of fear, a lot of kind of external bad motivation, but it was motivation, and you had to perform. Well, now when you're in your business, what happens, the most important tasks that will help you grow your business, there is no boss to hold you accountable. Those are the tasks that are the easiest to wiggle out on. You schedule an appointment for yourself to sit for an hour and strategically plan your business. That hour comes and, you know, phone rings or Twitter pops up on your computer, or there's some good movie on TV, and you go, oh, you know, I just plan tomorrow. So there is no, the easiest person to wiggle out on commitment and to give up on is you. So we need those other people to help us stay committed, stay focused, and stay accountable. And when you think about large companies, again, they form boards of directors that will advise them, that will keep them accountable. And small business owners, professionals, what do they have? Themselves. And often they have a nagging wife or husband or a cousin Jimmy or you know, an Aunt Mary that comes back and says, I told you should just stay with the job. You know, who do you think starting your own business? You know, I don't even know what the heck you're doing sitting there all day. You know, just go get a job. So we have a lot of negative input, very little positive input. Negative input just shows up by itself in our lives. Positive input, we have to search it and make a conscious effort to acquire it and surround ourselves with people that will feed us constantly and consistently with positive reinforcement, positive thoughts, positive energy, and effective and positive ideas that will help us move forward to achieve the goals we want to achieve.
Right. And, you know, what you're talking about with this testing where you're saying that life conspires to basically get in your way and have you prove how much you want it, that's actually part of the hero's journey. It's something that's part of every culture. It's pretty much universal to human beings because in overcoming those particular challenges that would be called the road of trials in terms of the hero's journey, that's what gives you, if you keep true to the path, it gives you the skills and the contacts and all the characters along the road that you need to help you to create that higher level of you so that you can do well in your business. Of course, the alternative is you get distracted, you let yourself fall off the path, and you end up saying, no, really, I thought I wanted it, but it's too hard, and then turning away from it.
What I heard you saying through everything that you've been talking about thus far is really that an entrepreneur really needs relationships. And as you might be aware, this show is about relationship marketing. So how do relationships
come into play for the entrepreneur?
They're huge. They're huge. I think that, again, kind of going back to maybe biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs, professionals make, is thinking that the biggest resource is a computer that you have or your intellectual property that you have and some other things. And those are all great and fantastic things, and they are needed. And a lot of time they create a lot of value for our businesses. But ultimately, the largest value you can create is the relationships you have in your business. And they're the relationships with your strategic alliances, with your joint venture partners or affiliates, with your current and potential and past customers, with your vendors. And, you know, there is a saying that it's not who you know, it's who knows you. But there is also a part of the saying that's missing, that it's not who knows you, it's how well they know you. Because based on how well they know you and how well you know them, you can really make a difference. You can make an impact. You can create results based on that relationship. And you can use those relationships to move things forward. If you only know off people and they know off you but you really don't know each other, it's hard to create connection. It's hard to get anything going, anything moving, anything started.
So that was a great clip, I think, from Adam Urbanski.
And I just created a redirect link for askggg.com/AdamU. askggg.com/AdamU that will take you to the original show. And I started to say when you said, I don't remember the date. Well, I started to say, I think it was October 2009. And get this, the original date is September 29th, 2009. I was so close. I was thinking early
close.
October 2009.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, so, it's so true what he said, and I remembered all this time later, you know, because if I just don't have time to sit there listening through shows all day long, finding clips, so I went, you know, I remember him saying some things about testing and about relationships that I thought were really significant to this conversation. The funny thing was I happened to have had that particular show on my computer already, so I didn't have to go look for it. That's why I didn't remember the date.
Nice.
So that was just perfect. But he's very true, is that it seems as if life is conspiring against you. And it's not really that there's like some divine gotcha that's going on or whatever, but there are just things that happen to kind of make you consider, are you really asking for this for real, or are you just playing at it? And
yeah.
If you're just playing at it, then any little thing that gets in your way will cause you then to stop.
Precisely. And that's so important to remember, because so many people that I see, what they describe as a dream life is one of two extremes. It's either a real pie-in-the-sky dream life, not something that they realistically hope to achieve, but, well, you know, it would have been nice to have $20 million in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Is that real? Is there a reason for $20 million in the bank as opposed to $18 million in the bank or $1 million in the bank? No, it's just a let's pick it out of thin air kind of a number. The other extreme is someone who's really just messing around in their business. It's more of a hobby. There really isn't a real purpose or mission to it. They're working at a full-time job. They're making money. They're not necessarily happy with their job. So they decide to start this business. And if it works, great. If it doesn't work, well, they still make money from their job, so not a big deal. They'd like to leave a legacy in their lifetime. They'd like to be remembered for something, but, you know, it's still more of a hobby. Neither extreme is really enough to accomplish what Adam was just talking about in that clip. You really have to have a why behind what you're doing so that it's not just some number that you want to have in the bank picked out of thin air. It's really, these are all of the things that I really want in this lifetime. that I know I am destined for in this lifetime. And these are all of the pieces that would mean would show up in my life.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And knowing why, not just it would be nice, or gosh, if I had 20 million, I just figure I wouldn't have to work anymore. And it's usually more of that. It's like, how little can I do? Well, that's not the nature of life. It just is not to consider how little can be done. It's not like a seed goes, well, let's see, what's the least possible effort I can put into this whole thing of growing so that I can fulfill my destiny of being a tomato plant?
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way in nature. It doesn't work that way for people. Well, our dogs may have it pretty easy, but they still get very specific. They let us know what they want, and that's how they are able to get it.
Right. So we've covered earlier this year already on both the show the first week of January when we talked about defining your vision and the second week of January when we talked about uncovering the blocks that are keeping you from that dream. And even last week with the license to dream, we've talked about first defining the vision, figuring out what that dream life looks like, and then taking a step back from that and looking at the specific goals that need to be in place in order to have that vision or that dream life. And then building the plan of how you're going to go from where you're at now and to where you really want to be, achieving all of those goals. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to the first couple of shows in January of 2011, go back to the site, go to askggg.com/radio and look up those show archives, because they'll really help a lot in defining that bigger picture, the long-term, this is my dream life. And it will help you to start getting those blockages uncovered and overcome so that you can get the mindset that you need in order to take you on this journey in a way that will manifest that dream life for you.
Absolutely, and that's why this whole year has been just a real series so far, and it won't always be the way, but it's a great place to begin this brand new year in being able to look at all of these things that empower you to live that life of your dreams. And so it's been a really good run to be able to stop and consider that. And as you really get into then creating the dream, getting very specific, getting the mindset right, there is a big piece of that that is about, are you willing to put in your time and your energy and your effort? And you talked about the two different types of people, sort of the hobbyist business owner. Then that's also the person who goes, well, let's see, I will get as much free stuff as I can and see if I can just use that free stuff to build my my business and build my legacy, because I'm not completely committed and not really completely serious about it, even though they may say to themselves that they are, then everything that they're doing really shows that they're not. So they'll complain about being unhappy in their current job and wanting to make a change, but yet they won't put in the time to really make things happen in a real way, right? So if you find yourself in that situation, I just don't let people complain about their jobs or really pretty much of anything around me. It just doesn't happen. It's not a good thing. And Gina, something I've noticed in people that are pursuing a dream is there are ways that negativity can creep in a very subtle way. And I suspect that you found this with people too. Maybe it's not outright complaining about, well, I don't have this yet, or this isn't big enough, whatever. But there can still be forms of negativity that can creep in. An example being, I had a conversation with a friend of mine. I hadn't seen him in a while, and he asked me to come by, so we had a glass of wine and chatted a little bit. And he was talking about and sharing some poetry that he had written, and it gave me some real insights to where his mindset is. Because in his poetry, he was pouring out things that are all about how basically how big institutions, you know, either try to get people to lockstep and believe certain things or whatever. So it was basically that he didn't quite realize how much in his poetry, and that meant his thoughts were going in the direction of really giving over his power to others, saying, well, it's because of this. Or it's like when a student will say, they will throw up the barrier of not knowing how to use a particular piece of technology, or show me that for the 50,000th time, the same thing I've already seen 5,000 times, that it comes up, that same type of negativity.
Well, and it comes in a few different ways. One of the ways that it creeps in more often than anything is not necessarily from your own mindset, but more from the people that you're coming into contact with or from the activities that you are undertaking. For example, oftentimes when I'm traveling and I go into a coffee place inside of a hotel, they'll have a TV on, and 24/7 that TV will be set to the news. If I go into that coffee place, grab my coffee and go sit down just to have my coffee, I'm being exposed to the news whether I like it or not. And even that small amount of news is really bringing negativity into your life. And if I'm not really consciously aware of it, I find myself staring at the TV, totally enthralled with all the devastation on the news. And before you know it, I've got a headache. My coffee doesn't taste right. My stomach is upset. And it's because of the negativity that I just allowed into my life. It's still very much my doing. It's not that coffee shop's doing. They didn't force me to sit there and pay attention to the news. I allowed that to happen. And the thing that we all tend to forget is that we only have control over ourselves. You cannot control someone else's actions. You cannot control their negativity. And it really is a decision that you make to choose to allow that into your life. Even if it comes from a parent, a spouse, a kid, even if you think you don't have a choice but to accept it, it very much is a choice to allow it to happen in the first place. And even that negativity that comes from allowing that really has an adverse effect on your mindset and therefore your outcome.
Well, in that situation with my friend that I was mentioning, a lot of his negativity was very subtle. He wasn't directly, you know, talking about the news or different things, but he was noticing things that divide people. And so
very subtle, you're right.
It is. It's very subtle because he wasn't saying, rah, 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 the news, rah, 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 the government. You know, he wasn't, like, directly complaining against a government or a church or a whatever like that type of thing. That would be blatant and a lot easier. But it was really much more subtle. And so,
you know what it really was? It was he was looking at the glasses being half empty instead of the glasses being half full. It's still the same glass. It still has the same amount of stuff in it. It's just that his perception was from a negative viewpoint, not a positive one.
And so I, of course, knowing that I don't have control over him, but I just simply said, that's very interesting that's where your thoughts have been, and I realized that part of it is because of a friend you're hanging out lately who is definitely kind of locked up in a particular mindset and who will not even listen to something contrary. But I said, you know, if you really look around, there's so much abundance in all of life. And it was really funny. His reaction was physical. It was almost as if I had struck him. It was really interesting. I mean, it was literally, I could have sworn I would have slapped him in the face. Now, not that I would do that or would want to. But that was the reaction. I mean, he actually kind of sat bolt upright and looked right at me and he goes, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, I mean, abundance. The nature of how all of life works. And he's going, well, I don't really see it. Well, that's kind of obvious. But however, you know, let me just put forth to you that there could be plenty of examples where abundance really happens. And as you happen to pay attention to those things, you might find that your reaction to other things will shift all of itself. And I'm certainly not saying any one way of thinking is wrong or whatever, but the more that you get into creating the life of your dreams, you will notice the subtle negativity and the subtle signs that someone is in a mindset of lack, of not having versus having. And I remember being in a hotel, you and I were there when we were at Everyday Online Entrepreneur last November in Atlanta. The people at that hotel had such a lack mindset going on. It was very subtle but very interesting. They didn't have any staff. They really didn't go out of their way to even give a basic level of service in some areas. And you could just tell there were all kinds of little cues that we don't have enough. We don't have enough. There isn't enough. And it was really interesting to be in that. So
yeah, that was really obvious to you and I.
Oh, yeah. And I know Don Osborne, we were talking about it at one point. I said, oh, my goodness. You'd swear the glass was not only half empty, but there was just a couple of drops in there.
Right. And it really says that your perception really is your reality.
Mm-hmm.
Perception is everything. If you choose to see what's in your life right now in an abundant way instead of from a position of lack and a position of scarcity, it totally changes what needs to happen in order to get to your dream life. For example, if you start seeing that, it's always hard to pay your bills, so you start perceiving that you simply don't have enough money, getting those bills paid the next month is going to be a real struggle. If you instead look at the same situation, same amount of money, and say to yourself, I've managed to pay my bills every single month, regardless of how hard it is, regardless of whether or not there was enough, but you really did pay your bills every single month.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, thinking about next month's bills starts coming from a position of, well, I paid them every month, I'm going to pay them next month too.
That's right.
Would it be nice to have extra money left over? Sure, but you really come from a place of abundance, not from a position of lack. And guess what? Next month, it's going to be that much easier to pay your bills.
Right.
It's just the mindset shifting. But, boy, it changes everything.
People often look at a bill as a negative. And I say, no, being able to pay a bill for your electricity or your computer or your home, wow, you have a roof over your head. You can get onto the Internet. You can have lights on and you know, hot running water and all those types of things. Isn't that wonderful that you have those things? And most people are like, bills, and that's like automatically a negative word. What if you manage to joyfully pay your bill and realize, I'm so happy and grateful that I'm able to pay this check for the electric or for that whatever it happens to be? It makes a huge difference in your experience, and it will change your results in terms of making your dream happen. And if you can then look at the testing, what seems to be testing that comes your way in the same manner, oh, that's just checking to make sure I'm serious. Well, I'm not going to waver for anything. And those things will
right.
move out of the
way. Well, you know, even the past 3 months in my own life, these challenges have been so numerous. I mean, starting with the motorhome breaking down, there's now a $60,000 repair bill. Until we pay the $60,000, we're homeless. To my father-in-law being ill, knowing that he may not make it through the holidays. To my father being ill, he's in and out of the hospital. To now I'm breaking my leg and my ankle's in three pieces that it shouldn't be in. And I've got to have surgery and I've got to have a cast and now I'm back in the wheelchair. All of those things are messages cueing me into something I'm missing that most people would look at in a very negative light. And
right.
the more I see myself as homeless, the more I see myself as crippled because I'm in a cast and I can't walk, the more I see the bad things in my two fathers' illnesses, the worse things became and the bigger the negative stuff got. If I instead start looking at it as, well, yeah, the motorhome had an issue, but look at the opportunity that we now are presented with to get an even better motorhome, to really look at how we live our life and where we live our life. Had the motorhome not broken down in October, we never would have been here to be a part of my father-in-law's passing and his funeral. Just wouldn't have happened.
Right.
We would have been far south and we couldn't have come back up. Had we not had my ankle break, I would never have shown up at my parents' house to live with them for 2 months and would never have realized how amazingly positive my mom has become. And I have literally had the best 6 weeks of my entire life being there for the last 6 weeks. None of those good things would have happened had the bad things not occurred first.
Right. And I know that because you told your story plenty of times on this show, so if people haven't heard it, this isn't news. You actually didn't speak to your mom for quite a while because of her negativity at that time.
6 years, Rhonda. One month shy of 6 years.
Right. That's a long time not to speak to a parent. And so then to go, if you don't believe people can change, look at what your mother has done and how she is such a different person that rather than going, oh, God, how long am I going to have to live with my mother who's so negative, now you're like, wow, I have the chance to see that she has given herself a transformation makeover in her life, and she is really a different person.
If I had simply told my mom 6 years ago, Mom, I love you very much, but your negativity is affecting me so much that I just don't think I can ever have you be a part of my life. And then next week, I would have called my mom back and said, hi, Mom, what's new? What's going on? Oh, this person died, and this happened, and this happened, and all this negative stuff started pouring back at me. My mom would never have stopped in making my awareness have her negativity enter into it. Never would have changed.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom knew that I was really serious, that this was really important to me. And that I was willing to go 6 years of not having her in my life to really make sure that that negative stuff didn't impact me any longer. And I was totally prepared to make that a lifetime of not having my mother in it.
Mm-hmm.
So when my ankle issue happened and it now looked like we weren't going to have any other alternative but to stay with my mom, I made it really clear, Mom, this doesn't change anything. This is still, I can't let your negativity into my life. I really want to be there. I really want to see you and Dad. But please, if you can't get your negativity to stay quiet, I am going to have to leave and go to a hotel. And it's not going to be, you know, let me give you 3 warnings and then I'm leaving. The first time it happens, I'm out of there. I made it really clear ahead of time how important having positivity in my life really was. And my mother has gone to such great lengths to really commit to me that she was ready to do that and to follow through with it because she knew I was prepared to live my lifetime without her, and she really wanted me in her life. So really, it was my retraining her over those 6 years of not talking to her to let her see how serious I was. I'm not playing at this. I am really willing to commit to it at all costs, no matter what the consequences are. And I think too often we pay lip service to being committed to something, but our actions don't stay consistent with what we've said. And so people just keep bringing back more crap, which, again, is your fault because you didn't stick to not letting it into your life. And they see it.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they ever going to stop until you're fully committed to it and not just playing with it?
Right. And then your mother, of course, you couldn't change your mother. She took that opportunity to change herself, as you had said,
yep.
because of actually wanting you in her life, because she had 6 years of not having you in her life as a testament to the fact that you were serious and that she could either continue to have that experience or she could make the choice to change her habits and to create a new possibility for herself and for you and for the two of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes a very, very big difference.
Totally. I can't tell you how amazed I have been by the fact that my mother was willing to do that for me. If you would have asked me 6 years ago, would my mother be willing to make that change for me, I would have told you never in a million years, not for any amount of money, would my mother do that.
Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, when I had heard you on other calls mention, oh, your mom was cooking dinner at your mom's, I went, oh, that's really interesting. I wonder what's caused that and, you know, how that's going and whatever, because I know of the situation and your commitment to positive.
Well, and she's really gone way above and beyond what I had asked of, Mom, please, I want only positivity in my life. Bill says she's actually trying to spoil me. I don't think she's trying to spoil me, but she's now trying to show me that she is willing to do anything at any cost to really give me what I've now shown her I need and want. So she's making all my favorite dinners. She's made me my favorite cookies that I haven't had in 6 years. I mean, she's really gone to extra lengths to really show me that she's there and that she really is willing to be a part of my life under my terms. And that is just so huge. You really can get even your kids, your spouse, your parents to give you what you need to make your dreams your reality, but it's up to you to show them that it's something that is really important to you, not something that you're playing at.
And so often I hear, this happens a lot in couples, where one spouse will rah-rah-rah about the other spouse. And if I hear people doing that, I say, you know, you're entitled to your opinion, but I refuse to listen to gossip.
Yeah.
And that is really what you are doing. And you are free to have those feelings. Obviously, I can't change you. I don't have that power, and I'm not trying to. However, I will say in my presence, I won't have that. And I might suggest that, wonder what would happen if you were really clear with what you do like and were looking for what you like in that person and what goes right. Because at some point, if they got married, the chances are really good they loved each other at some point, or still do, and just need those kind of things to come forth. And so I just don't accept the hearing of gossip. And it was really funny. My great aunt was talking to my mom on the phone a few days ago. I wasn't present, but she said, oh, well, Sue was talking about how much there's so much gossip over at her senior place. And she went on and on and on about it. And I went, if it were me, I would have stopped her and said, sorry, Auntie, I don't listen to gossip, because that's exactly what she was doing. My mother, who none of us knows these people anyway, but that's exactly what she was doing, was what she was complaining about.
Well, it is just so important that you really stay consistent with what you say and what you do, which is exactly what you're saying there, Rhonda.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that there are only 90 seconds left on this show?
No, I looked up a few minutes ago and I went, I'm going to have to put the Scott Armstrong clip on a different show because we were talking so much we ran out of time for it. So,
well, let's just tell them that the Scott Armstrong show that took place in July of 2009 is also pertinent to this discussion of dreams and creating your dream life. So if you go to askggg.com/S like Scott, S like Sharp, A like Armstrong, SSA, you will find the Scott Armstrong show from July of 2009, so you guys can listen to it on your own.
That will be great, and we will have a short clip from him, I'm sure, at a different time. That was a fabulous show, and it's been fun to pull these clips out for people and be able to share them, so we get to do what we always talk about, repurposing that and bringing it back to, into your attention so that you can use it to create the life of your dreams.
Well, Rhonda, I've got to thank you for doing that, because we do have 2.5 years, almost 3 years now, of Relationship Marketing 101 archives. And there are some great shows in those archives. And, you know, we love to bring you new guests and get new ways of applying relationship marketing to your life and your business. But we got to remember about all those awesome shows that are already there for you to draw upon and really learn from. So thank you so much for taking the time to do that, Rhonda. And we will be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern, same time, same place, here on Blog Talk Radio for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101. Thank you so much, Rhonda, and we'll see everyone next week.
Thank you. See you then.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101.
Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.